You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on September 10, 2022, and is titled Peace at War. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
So we'll take just a minute here to visit and do a few little announcements. I got some announcements that I got to do tonight. We need to have a little prayer time here. Tonight, though, I'm really interested in the message tonight. I'm always curious how this comes out. But tonight, Leonard always wants to know what my title is every time he comes in. I always tell him, boss. Every week he comes in, what's your title, boss? I said, that's it. The boss. He don't believe it. He's like y'all. He just kind of sits there and looks off into space. But tonight it's, I just gave him a little title. It's called Peace at War. Peace at War. Just think about that for just a minute. And how many of y'all have woke up at least one day in the last 30 days and you had a battle on your hands? How many in the last week? I mean, in the last 30 minutes. Yeah, well, like me and my mouth, I'll have one here in just a minute. we talk about peace, and tonight we're going to teach on this a little bit, teach about what that actually means. One of the things that we do in American religion, for sure, is we got our own dictionary. So whatever we think something kind of means, we kind of take the ball and run with it. That may be what God said, and it may not be what God said. It may be what he meant, and it may not be what he meant. But you know how it is today in a society of subjective reasoning. If any two of you agree on it and it feels good, it must be right. Yeah, if you don't believe me, just go ahead post it on Facebook and see how it turns out. But yeah, so anyhow, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, and there's a lot going on, and I've kind of kept my mouth quiet here for a little bit because everybody's been enjoying their summer, and now Labor Day's over with, summer's over with, kids went back to school. One of these days, we're going to crack our felt hats out again here pretty quick. When I was in the hat business, I was very good at Labor Day having my felt hat out so I could start selling them to people. Now that I don't have a hat business and I'm older and fatter and it's still 95, I don't have my felt hat out yet. But we're moving into fall. So the summer vacation's over. Hope everybody enjoyed yours, but now we got work to do. We've got a lot to teach and preach to take home to your kitchen tables. We've got a lot of things to establish. We've got important things for our nation coming up in the next few months. I'm tell you, if we fail the system in November, get ready to assume the position, because we've got some things already in play that need a serious roadblock. And anybody that hangs around here very long, you know how I am. That ain't changing. Because I don't change, the crowd changes. But I'm not changing. And so I think as Christians, we have the highest responsibility of any group of human beings on the footstool of God's kingdom. That would be his created earth. And we have a huge responsibility to get this right according to biblical principle, according to what's been set before us, what was bought and paid for by our founding fathers, all those different things. Now, we can differ on some subjects or two, but I'm telling you today, as we move forward close to November, my mouth's open. It's not going to shut. If I talk until we're down to two people around here, that's just how it's going to be, because this is so important. If we don't establish a mechanism to stop the inflation bill and all the components that's in there, and I haven't read it, neither has anybody in Congress. Nobody's read it. But just the bits and pieces are enough to keep you awake at night. when your religious freedoms are up for grabs because IRS agents, 87,000, supposed to be armed and ready to serve. All these different things. You know what happened to the church? We became so numb-minded that we don't realize when we're being attacked on our religious liberties. The Equality Bill 5 years ago, that wasn't to benefit one half of 1% of the confused people in America. No, that was to set a precedent to monkey with your religious liberties. So that, you know, I could be set up to discriminate. Same thing with the IRS thing. Who do you think's going to be the first one up to grab? They've told you about people that make $400,000 and this, that, and other. Well, if people have short memories, but when Barack Obama was president of the United States of America, the 501c3 was in the most danger it's ever been in since the creation of this country. Now, I don't believe that we have to be a 501c3. That just means that you want the tax benefits of being a religious organization. I have the kingdom benefits of being God's people, so that's two different ball games. But all that being said, it's still pointed right at us. So if we don't have 51% of the Congress, 51% of the House, then you better assume the position, and it looks a lot like a prayer position. If I have to draw you a picture, that's yeah. And so we're going to talk about a few of these things. I'm going to talk about political party, not really going to talk about candidates, but we will be serious about principle. The Christian people are a principled people. Your principles should be reflected in your policy. When that fails to happen, you elected the wrong guy. You should not have to call Washington and tell your guy how to vote. He should already vote the way you vote because you elected him. Now we really got work cut out because there's not 50% of us in America today that believe the same thing about this book. Well, you know, everybody reads it different. No, I'm talking about one thing, that this is the inherent word of God and it's the absolute truth from front to back. From maps to maps, Genesis to Revelation, this is the Word of God and it's absolute truth. It does not change, and we don't change it. It changes us. Half of America doesn't believe that anymore, and especially the half that warm the pews every week. They don't believe it, because if you don't believe all of it, you don't believe it. Sorry. That's pretty straight up. So we're going to talk about these things. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it, too. But in the meantime, we are going to equip ourselves for the battle. The same thing we've been doing for two solid years. When they shot fear through a fire hose and the church jumped up and said, "Give me a drink." And so we're going to learn how to battle fear. We're going to learn how to not be anxious. We're going to learn how to exude that into our families, our children, the seed of this nation. We're going to learn how to face the things that go on with our kids. Public school, peer pressure, pot shops on every corner. All kinds of things that we get to deal with. But there are certain kingdom mechanisms that help you to do that. And tonight, one of those mechanisms is being at peace while you're at war. Yeah. Where you can go to bed at night, get up in the morning, come swinging again. Lay your head back down. No, tomorrow morning you got to get up and do it again. Swing again. Everybody's got stuff. Anybody that came here without stuff, without any sin, without any difficulty, raise your hand, and this microphone's yours. Yeah, because we all put our britches on one leg at a time. But as God's people in the earth, we have a huge responsibility. And the first responsibility is God's people is not to run around acting like everybody else. And so, what are we going to do? We just learn things about the Bible so we can be different. Maybe in the midst of the fire, if we're different enough, somebody may want to know why we're different. Somebody may want to know why we're not afraid, why we're not anxious, why we're not all stirred up. But why we don't back up. You see, I don't think they've got to see that one yet. I don't think they've seen the people of God that will just stand there and not back up. Now, if I've given everything I own to God, then I know that He's given everything He owns to me. The Bible says in Psalms 24:1 that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all its fullness. The Bible says in Romans 8, I'm a co-heir. Guess what? This puppy's mine. So, forgive me if you don't get to run me out of what's already mine. And so, we just got to get a little more mustard on the hot dog here and do what we do. Y'all game? We had a nice, fun summer vacation. Are y'all ready to tear something up? Huh? Robin's going over there going, oh, my God, here we go again. I like this stuff. Yeah. You know, we're not running around picking a fight. We don't pick fights. We'll dadgum sure finish one. So you know what? You come take my stuff. You come move the line. You come take my freedom. All that kind of stuff. We're going to fight. And we're going to use the mechanisms. And I want to say one more thing about that, because this week, the judicial branch has risen to the occasion and done its part. And sometimes it takes a long time. It takes a longer period of time than some of us are used to for some of these things to reach the courts. And because of the 45th president of the United States of America, the courts have been set. The Supreme Court's been set on a constitutional conservative originality type basis, 300 more across the country in the lower courts, and they have done their part. They have turned some things around. They have stopped some things. They have stopped some of the stuff about the invasion at Mar-a-Lago the other day. They've turned that around. So what I told Robin, we were driving down the road listening to that, and I told her, I said, this is why I believe in America, because I believe that our founding fathers knew by the intuition of God that three branches of government with checks and balances would work. I know it's God because He's the God of three persons. We're humans of three parts. Everything's done in the triune. And so when that's all done, this system still works. The system's not broken. But the people in place are broken. Their minds have been invaded. There are different types of mentalities out there. But what our guys pledge their lives, their estate, and their sacred honor for is still in place. And if we won't back up off of that, it'll protect your rights to be a free Christian in this great United States of America. So that's my little pregame warm-up, because Murph, if you don't want to hear this stuff every week, you tell Murph to bring guitar. If Murph doesn't bring guitar, then you got to listen to all this. But anyhow, all right. Hey, now we've got everybody in here. A couple things over at the food pantry tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. They're going to have a work night over there. Then Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, they're going to distribute again. Just once again, what a great testimony that we've been allowed to be a part of, all of us, and all of your generosity, and establish something so cool in our town that I don't know how many show up there now, 135 or something like that. There's 100 gallons of milk brought in there, beef brought in there every month. It's just a really cool setup. And so if you got time and you want to be a part of it, that Chris Martis and that whole bunch, Janice, there's several around here that get in on it. And I was blessed to be home one weekend when that all happened, and Robin and I got to go. And it's just a really cool deal. And so tomorrow night at 6, you can go make friends, show up Saturday morning at 8, and you can make a hand. And so there you go. I want to brag on Murph just a minute, too. He didn't know this was coming, but you've been going in the Neil unit, right? Clements. Okay, there's two of those prisons up there at Amarillo. And the reason I'm just sharing a little bit, just what he shared with me, and Murph doesn't, you got to squeeze him like an onion, or like a lemon, to get any lemon juice out of him. But he goes in up there a lot of time, most of the time by himself, ministers to a whole herd of people, wonderful people. It's just another example of a mere ordinary man who just a cattle guy, family guy, makes time, hear the Lord, use his gifts and talents, and do something. Do something. And so I just want to brag on him for just a minute, because our number one enemy against your religion and your freedom in the United States of America is radical Islam. An open border allows that secretly to come in your country. One of these days it'll wake up and bite you in the shorts again. Guarantee it. The fastest growing hotspot for radical Islam is the American prison. They're the largest religious group in prison. So when a cow guy will grab a Bible and a guitar and walk in a big one, not a little one, a big one, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to change hearts and minds of men, many of who will walk out that gate one day and become another part of your society, and maybe this time not given over to radicalization that wants to destroy an infidel, radicalized towards the love of Jesus Christ and wants to save a soul and live free. So, thank you, Murph. You're a good guy. Let's pray. Let's have a little prayer time here. And I know everybody's got some, but there's a little girl, and I don't know him, but it ended up on my telephone here a while ago. Her name's Letty, little Letty, and she had wandered off from the house, and something really bad has happened, and they was wanting prayer. And then there's a guy named Max that's having a real battle, and I got a friend, Brad, who had surgery today, and I know there's many of you that got people. And so for just a minute, I want to talk to Jesus about this, and you do the same right where you're at, because he hears every one of us. And if he hears us, he loves us and he responds. And we need him to help us with a lot of stuff. So if you would, let's pray right quick. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for a beautiful crowd tonight, Lord, and people that are watching online. Lord, tonight I lift up this family and Letty. And Lord, I just ask you to intervene in this whole situation, that you bring her through this tragic time, that, Lord, she'd come to full healing, come to full health, that, Lord, that she would live a full life, and it all be done to your glory. The same with Max. Lord, the burns on his body, I pray that you just supernaturally touch him and heal his body. And, Lord, I pray for Brad tonight that you brought healing through that surgery today, and that he's completely well and whole in a very short period of time. Tonight, Lord, there's many of us sitting here who have situations in our life, Jesus. We've got friends and neighbors who are sick, friends and neighbors who need help. We got family members who are in tough, difficult times, Lord. You hear our prayers and our petitions. And pray for Robin's dad tonight. Lord, he needs a real divine intervention with you, Lord. Many in our lives. So, Lord, tonight when we come with our prayers and our petitions, with our request, you said that you would guard our hearts and minds with your peace, Jesus. A peace that transcends all understanding, surpasses all understanding. Lord, we thank you for the gift of peace. But now, Lord, let us examine ourselves and see that we really trust you. Trust you to hear. Trust your word to be just exactly like you said. Trust, Lord. who you are, Jesus. Lord, bless this night, the teaching tonight, Lord. Use my lips to bring your words to families, kitchen tables, to your people, Lord, that in the midst of all the turmoil, all the stuff, that we would walk in the gift of peace. No matter the outcome, that we find peace in you, Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you tonight. We give you praise and all the glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's talk about that a little bit tonight. What do y'all think? If you look in your Bibles, let's go to John 14 first, because this is where we started out. I was praying with a guy this week, and the Lord brought me to mind about not being afraid. I don't know how many of y'all have got to experience that last chapter, the end of life. There's two different ways that people go out of here. One of them go out in peace. One of them go out with both heels stuck in the ground and sometimes swinging with both fists. And so talking about that, it says, you know, I was praying along there, and he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, just say this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. For in my Father's house are many rooms. And I've gone there to prepare a place for you, and had I not gone, I would not return to come and get you. But I'm coming back to take you where I am, and there you will be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Thomas, he wanted Jack with him a little bit, and he said, you know the way to where I'm going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So then you go on down in chapter 14 and verse 25, he said, these things I have spoken to you while present with you. But the helper, so what's he telling him? I told you all this. I've been walking around with you guys now for 3.5 years. I'm fixing to be out of here. But I'm sending help. See, this is why I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because I hadn't thought about this till right now. And the Lord is just really quickening my mind. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending help. What have we been doing since every one of you were born and started going to church? You've been praying for God to help, haven't you? We need help. We need help. Help us. We're crying out loud. Nancy's still here. Help us. We got to have help. He said, I'm leaving, and I'm sending help. He left. And he sent help. He sent help. We're still waiting on him to show up. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're running around having classes trying to teach each other about the Holy Spirit. We don't need the Bible to teach us about the Holy Spirit. We need the Bible to tell us that's him that's doing all this in us. He's the power within us. He's the strength within us. He is God within us. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. You don't have your ticket punched, you don't have nothing. Apart from him, you have nothing. He said, I'm leaving and I'm sending help. This is the verse that I have lived on for 26 years. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I have hung my hat on that one for a long time. So when it aggravates you, when you ask me, did you read this book? And I go, huh? Did you see that movie? And I go, huh? Sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't be, I get into this quite a bit because I've trusted this. I trusted this. When I first realized something really weird was happening in me, you see, if you're born again, I'm going to pick on Murph again. Anything ever weird start happening to you before you was ready? Yeah. Yeah, that's called Christianity. You put new wine in an old wineskin, try to make it a new wineskin so you know it don't spill out all over the floor. Yeah. Anybody else in here just start having weird stuff happen to you and you wonder what the crud's going on?
That concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.